Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's training camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Yesterday, after training camp practice, Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock spoke to the media. It was interesting, Stoke, to hear the tone of each guy, the words that each of them had to say. I had my own interpretation of it, but I want to work our way through them here and see if you agree. We'll start off with Drew Lock, who was asked just kind of how he's dealing with the whole quarterback battle.
You know, obviously, always at first, it's like, you know, you're frustrated. One, you're frustrated in yourself because you didn't play well enough to be able to just not have this happen to you in the off season. But then as time goes on, you get to be around guys that have been in football for a long time. You find a different side of yourself in the competition. Like we talked about last time, it really never happened to me in my football career. So it took a lot of soul searching, figuring out, you know, what I need to focus on, how I need to go about it. So I really do think it made me a better football player to this point in time. But at first it is like, and then you get a sense of, you know, it's hard to even say, but a sense of gratitude for being able to still, you know, come out and fight for it, get a little competitive juices flowing early in the season, not just when you go out and step on the field and play games.
Love it. I mean, yeah. The right approach. It is what it is. Hey, I didn't play well enough last year. I mean, that's the bottom line, you know, so he knows that. It's not like, oh, why am I not the starter this year? I mean, he said it. I just didn't play well enough last year to be the starter this year, and that's the situation he's in.
Yeah, the honesty was refreshing. The perspective, I thought, was good. There was a maturity to it that maybe we hadn't heard in the past. You know, we've heard a lot of excuses from a lot of different people over there or near the team for all aspects of what went wrong last year, right? COVID, no offseason, all that stuff. We didn't hear any of that in that answer from Drew Lock. It was, I was mad at myself in the offseason because I didn't play well enough, right? Totally owning it, putting it upon himself.
Love it.
And turning it into a positive, right? Like, hey, you got the competitive juices going. Never had to do this before. It's been good. Like, I really liked how he turned what could have been a negative, could have put him into a shell, into a positive. Then later, when Teddy came out, D-Mac asked him about what drives him to be the starter. And the answer was, it was a bit murky.
Honestly, man, I wake up and I tell myself, be the best version of Teddy that I can be and let the rest take care of itself. And, of course, you know, we all want to be the guy making plays, you know, in this league. But, man, you know, anything can happen. And as we know throughout the course of this year, last season and the years before, you know, I had an opportunity where I was backing up Drew Brees and Drew Brees got injured and I ended up playing. So you never know, man. You may need 3-4 quarterbacks throughout the course of the season. Hopefully you don't. But, you know, it's good that we have guys on this team who can go out there and have played football games in this league and have won in this league.
No issue. I mean, I don't. Is that what you are reading a lot into? I just didn't. I'm just hearing a pro. Just talking about, you know, his situation and what he's been through and, you know, just trying to be a good teammate if he's not the starter. And he's been in situations where he hadn't been the starter and he's, you know, been able to come in and contribute.
Yeah, I didn't have an issue with the answer. I did think it was interesting that he talked about being a backup, right? To me, that's sort of, you know, you have backup on the mind a little bit.
Well, he said everybody wants to be the guy, but, yeah. You know, he's also not been the guy, and he's done well with it. So I think he's just going through both scenarios. I don't know if he did that by accident because, you know, he's thinking he's going to be the backup. I think I look at it from the perspective where he did that because, you know, he's trying to say the right things if he's not the starter or if he is the starter. That's the way I look at it.
Right. Okay. And then he was also asked, you know, whether the quarterback battle is making him better. And he answered that a little bit of in a weird way as well.
And it's honestly making me way better. It's one of those deals where it's like you're the older guy in the room now and, you know, you have a ton of knowledge that you've gained over the years from being in the room with different guys. So for me, it's one of those deals where I get to, you know, pour it back into, you know, Drew and Brett and help them elevate their games while I elevate my game as well.
No issue. I mean, he said the competition made him way better. He's been able to help the other guys out because he's been in different situations. I don't see anything in that answer that makes me think that he believes he's a backup. He believes he's the starter. I think it's just a pro being a pro, answering a question, and trying to be very thoughtful in his answer, and you know, not give any clickbait or anything like that.
Brett Favre didn't care about Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady didn't care about Jimmy G. Joe Flacco didn't care about Drew Locke.
Oh, wait.
I think it's interesting.
You just said Brett Favre and Tom Brady, and you're comparing them to Teddy Bridgewater. That was your first mistake.
I'm just saying.
That was a big mistake, James. You realized that, too, and you knew I wasn't going to let you get off the hook on that one.
Andy Dalton doesn't care about Justin Fields.
Oh, he loves Justin Fields.
No,
have you seen that bromance?
He's not there to help him out.
Yes, he is.
He's like, his time will come, but this is my job. Right? Like, you're speaking like a starting quarterback.
Well, that's because those guys were the starting quarterback. James, wait, what? And I'm not letting you off the hook.
No.
That's because Brett Favre was the starting quarterback. Tom Brady was the starting quarterback. Andy Dalton is the starting quarterback. Who else did you name?
You know,
Joe Flacco was the starting quarterback. So that's why those guys talk like this. Teddy Bridgewater's not the starting quarterback. He's in a competition, James.
You know who has interest
50-50 competition, buddy.
You know who has interest in mentoring young quarterbacks? Backups who are just happy to hold the clipboard and, you know, get the paycheck, never have to get hit, and just be a mentor. That's when you're in mentor mode, you're a backup. When you're in starter mode, you're not worried about the young guys. You're not worried about helping them get better. You're the alpha.
Teddy knows his role in the NFL, right? And look, I knew my role in the NFL. I knew one day that Eddie Royal could take my job, but I still helped the guy out. That doesn't mean I was content being, you know, a backup to him. But, you know, you're just being a good teammate. Like, Teddy knows his role in this league. And him staying around a long time, guess what? His role ain't going to be as a starter in this league for the next 5, 6, 7 years. That's not what's going to happen. So he realizes that. So he's smart. He wants to stay around.
Sure.
Guess what he has to do? Mentor.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean that's what's going to happen this year, James.
It's not the next 5 or 6 years he's not going to be the starter. He's not going to be in a competition to be a starter for the next 5 or 6 days, the way this is starting to sound to me. But he might
not be, but his approach is the right approach. And you, D-Mac, y'all reading, I mean, you know, I don't even know who D-Mac is anymore. You know, I don't know what's going on with him. I think it's the new diet. You agree? I think it's the new diet. The new diet, all of a sudden, you know, he's Mr. Like, I mean,
usually getting
like
healthier.
Stoker, you're reading too much into this. Like, guys, oh my gosh, I don't see it that way. But man, if y'all are going to go there, you know, but he is. I don't know. I think it's a new diet and all the biking or something.
Yeah. Usually getting healthier kind of provides some clarity.
Yeah.
You kind of see things better. Not with DMAC. It's made things like really kind of fuzzy and cloudy. But the final one here from Teddy, he was asked if he thinks.
So you're 0 for 2 here. Hopefully
no,
you give me something better.
No.
You're 0 for 2, buddy.
He was asked if he thinks he's done enough to be the starter, but he didn't really answer the question.
You know, man, this is one of those deals where we're just out here competing every day, trying to help the Broncos become the best team that we can be, getting ready for the season in the fall.
He's not giving you anything. That's perfect. What do you want him to? What do you want him to say? Yes,
no.
I should be the starter.
Yes.
No.
That's
come
exactly
on. And then that's going
to
be all over the news. That's going to be on ESPN.com.
Fine.
Drew Locke, what do you think about Teddy Bridgewater saying he should be the starter and not you? I mean, come. That's not what you want, buddy. That's a great answer from Teddy Bridgewater, and you know it. I can't believe you right now.
No,
of all things, James, I've had your back on a lot of things, but this thing right here, I can't believe you, man. I can't believe it.
I want him to be adamant about the fact that he's done enough to be the starter.
No!
When I get on the airplane, I want the pilot to be adamant about the fact that he should be in the left seat.
Well, of course, James.
That's what I want.
Of course. But you're talking about
a
competition.
I don't know. I'm just here to help make
it's a Bill Belichick answer. It's a Bill Belichick answer. That's exactly what it is. That's a great answer. That's a pro answer. That's a vet answer.
Nope.
That's what you want to, that's how you answer a question.
It's not the kind of answer you
Stokely
would get from
anybody.
Stokely is
100% correct. Thank you, 303-842.
That is not the kind of answer you would get from anybody who's a viable starter in this league. You wouldn't. You just wouldn't. That's not the kind of answer you want. From a guy who's your leader.
You want to create a mess over there.
You can say it without creating
a
mess.
No, you can't. No, you can't. You can't. Because people like you will pounce all over it if he did.
People like me, what does that mean?
I don't know. It just sounded good.
I just think it came across yesterday. One guy sounded like, man, he can feel that he's got all the momentum and it's his job because he went out and hit a home run and his chance with the ones. And the other guy realized, my only chance at getting this job was if Drew fell on his face, and he didn't. I think they've both just kind of become resigned to that outcome.
I mean, if that's the way you're reading into that, I'm not reading into that that far. Sorry,
I saw it. Hey, Stoke, the Green Bay Packers today did something, and I think the Broncos need to follow suit. Curious to get your opinion. I'll tell you what it is coming up next.
Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
So earlier today, the Packers unveiled what they're calling their 50s classic uniforms.
See that? Robert, you did that?
What's that?
50? 50s?
Ah!
Huh? See?
See? That's where...
AKA?
Being the country music guy, classic rock. Like, I got the Eagles when he plays the Eagles. Like
That one. I didn't quite get the Eagles one.
I can put
That's why we work well together.
Teammates, right?
Yin and yang, right?
If we both had the same knowledge base, this wouldn't be you know, all that interesting.
Wouldn't be, you know.
We could solo.
Just such a great show. I mean, but since we compliment each other so nicely, it's why it is what it is.
So that was
special.
That was Fitty playing there?
Fitty, a.k.a. Ferrari.
All right. Okay. So the Packers unveiled their 50s classic uniforms today, which they'll wear October 24th at home against the Washington football team. I don't know if you got a chance to see them.
I did. But I got a little sneak peek of them.
Yeah,
yes.
They're pretty sharp. So it's a solid like yellow helmet and then kind of a Kelly green jersey with yellow numbers and stripes. Way better than the throwbacks they wear on Throwback Day, which are like, I don't know what they are. They're like navy blue and yellow, and they got like weird patches and stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, those are bad. These are really, really sharp, and it sort of had me thinking, all right, Broncos, when it's time to do throwback uniforms, where do you lean? So to me, there are kind of three options, right? There's the classic, you know, 80s, 90s, before they made the switch to the new logo, with the D on the helmet, kind of the old John Elway look to the uniform.
There's, I can get down with that. I like that.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
There's the one they wore in 1994 on the 75th anniversary of the NFL, the throwback, which is the orange helmet with the horse logo. That they call it the horse on acid. It's just kind of a goofy looking horse logo. There's, there's that one.
Who's they? You and your buddies?
The people.
Okay.
That's what they call us.
Yeah. Okay.
And then there are the ones.
I can get down with that one, too. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't here. I'm not a jersey logo guy, but that one seems kind of cool to me also.
It's cool. It's got bad memories, though. I mean, it throws back to an era when they were terrible. And then when they wore them, they started that season, I think, 0-4. And that included a home loss to the Raiders. It was like 48-16, one of the ugliest home losses during the Elway era. So they kind of got a bad taste for me with those uniforms. But then they have my favorite, and you got a chance to wear them. The ones that go all the way back to 1960, where it's the brown and mustard yellow with the vertical striped socks.
Yeah.
Now, I love everything about the uniform other than the vertical striped socks. I think they're ridiculous. But the brown and the yellow... And just the number on the helmet, like the simplicity of it. I thought those were really cool. Now, you had to put those on and run out on the field on them. What was your thought on the old brown and yellow getup?
Not a fan.
Really?
No, not a fan. Just so different than the Broncos. You know, that's not the Broncos. You know, Broncos are, you know, orange, blue, white. I mean, not brown, yellow. And then the socks... I don't know. The socks were almost like prison socks,
yeah,
kind of like
it
just the whole getup. I didn't love, but like what? I didn't care. You know, I'm going out there to play a football game. I really didn't care what the uniform looked like, just as long as it fit good and it was fine. I think did we wear any other throwbacks or was that the only one that we wore?
Man.
Was that it? Was it like a home and away one? Because I know wore one in San Diego.
Yeah, and you
against the Chargers. And then when we were at home, I thought we wore one also. I don't know if they were the same, or one was like a white jersey, one was like a different jersey.
Yeah, that's what it was, I think. I think it was the same uniform or same year, but you did a home and a road.
Yes,
I want to say the home was worn when you beat the Patriots to go to 6-0.
I think that's right.
And Josh ran down to the corner and was pumping his fist, firing up the crowd, because he had the... I distinctly remember him in the old gear, right? Like the hat and stuff that he had the old Bronco on it, and it was brown and yellow. I thought they were sharp. Again, the socks are ridiculous. I don't remember which of your teammates took the socks and twisted them to where they kind of look like a barber pole.
I think Jabbar Gaffney.
That's what it was. It was Jabbar Gaffney. That really made it obnoxious, but it was creative. But that
you had to be.
That would be my favorite. So 303-713-1043, RamosLaw.com text line. Let us know which one you like. That would be my vote. So Stoke, which one?
Give me the Elway, the dim with the D on the side of the helmet. Give me that one or the other one, but not that one that we wore. But I like the one with the bronze. You say was it a light blue helmet? Is that what color it was too?
Yes, it was. I don't know if it was quite powder blue or like more of just kind of royal blue.
Yeah, give me that. I'm down for that.
Pretty sharp look. Anything other than the
we haven't anything this year because some teams are doing it. I know they had to get it in by a certain time, I thought.
The Broncos have the Color Rush uniform again, I believe. I don't know if it's the Thursday night game in Cleveland. That tends to be when teams break those out. I don't like those at all. I think those are brutal. Most of them are. To me, it's go back to one of them that you wore in the past, and that's cool to me. The made up Color Rush ones just doesn't do it for me. But the Packers uniforms, I
like
them. Really cool.
Yeah, I'm down with those too.
Check it out. It's all over Twitter. I think I found it at NFL on ESPN on Twitter. I thought they were really cool. I think the Broncos need to find a chance to go back and do the throwbacks. I would vote for the old brown and yellow. You would go with the classic D on the helmet. Let us know 303-713-1043 what your vote would be. All right, Stoke, you and I were out there at camp today. It was the final day where practice was open to the public. We will get your final star of the day coming up next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stoke and Zach.
James Brown from DenverFan.com filling in for Zach by today. Brandon Stokely is here, as always, and he has his star of the day. So I'm filling in for Zach, so I have to set this up with the fact that you get to name a star of the day.
Right.
Because you had a 15-year NFL career.
Yeah.
You've been through a ton of these training camps. You know what to look for. You know what matters when we're down there. And there are these things that maybe, the layman like me thinks kind of is popping and is important, but you really know what's happening.
So that's right.
You get to go with star of the day from the final day of training camp being open to the public. Who jumped out today, Stoke?
Well, James, I always go to practice. I have my notebook, right? Because I like to write things down, so when we get back to work, I can remember what happened, right?
Yeah.
And every day it depends. You take a couple pages, smaller notebook. You take a few pages of notes or whatever the case may be. Well, I have my notebook today, and I didn't write one thing in the notebook.
Yeah,
not a single one thing.
It's blank?
It's blank. Okay. Nothing is written in the notebook for the last day of training camp. It was a scout team day. It was the ones going up against, they hold the cards up for the defense to look at, and the guys put on different jerseys. One guy's Jamal Adams, the other guy is, whoever. And the quality control coach holds up the book for the players to know what coverage to play. They're playing all Seattle stuff. They're probably running at 60, 70%. It's just really going through the motions, getting ready to play Seattle, right? So not a whole lot. The defense is letting them catch the ball, right? And offensively, you kind of, who cares if you throw an interception? If Rippon throws an interception, it's a good thing, right? Because he's going against the first team defense.
Right, right.
Couldn't write anything down. Nothing today. But I still have a star of the day.
Okay. All right. So you were
still
able
find
to
a star.
That's impressive. That's impressive.
My star of the day, this is a first time winner. This guy's been here a couple of years.
Okay.
Guy, I said.
Finally getting on the podium?
Yes.
All right.
Finally getting his name etched into history.
Okay.
A guy I said a few months ago that I was going to let's start with a clean slate in my mind. Right?
All right.
I was going to forgive him for his past sins.
I think I have a couple of candidates in my head.
It is the one and the only, Pat Shurmur. Pat? Welcome to the club, Pat!
Shurmur.
Woo!
Man. I'll tell you
made it, Pat.
I'll tell you what, Stoke. You praising Pat Shurmur is... It's almost like me giving the award to Vic Fangio.
Yes, right.
I mean,
exactly.
It would be kind of, you know, knock you over with a feather. But why Pat Shurmur today? What did Pat Shurmur do?
His press conference after.
Okay.
So it wasn't any of the play calls.
Yeah, yeah.
It was his press conference talking about the, you know, mechanical issue with the headset is kind of what him and Drew were discussing or why he got pulled. And so, you know, it's... It just kind of lends more credence to what we've been talking about, that something was fishy there, that he did get pulled. And Pat just didn't get on the memo train of what...
Wait a minute. You're giving it to Pat Shurmur because he messed up and told the wrong lie?
Or he told the wrong truth. I don't... Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay. All
exactly.
Right.
Yes,
right.
That's why he wins today.
Okay.
Because there was nothing else. The bar was low. We're looking for storylines. We're looking for something to talk about.
Yeah.
And then Pat just stepped up to the stage and said, here you go.
Yeah, had Pat got up there and gone with the script.
Right.
And said, no, they just miscounted it. It was
on the script.
It was Teddy's rep. Drew just was in there. He's got a habit of just going back to the huddle. It's what he does.
Right.
So I just had to get him out there. And then when he came over, we were just talking about the previous play. It's what we always do. There would have been no more conversation about it.
No.
It would have been a dead issue.
Done.
And instead, he took what was kind of a dead, boring day at camp when there was really not a lot happening. And all of a sudden, he really did liven things up, because he went with, no, this was because of an equipment issue. It's the fact that I hate technology, and his helmet speaker wasn't working, and we couldn't communicate even though we were 5 feet apart from each other. He brought up that option, that explanation, which has kind of reignited, well, what was really going on, and why are they so...
Polar opposites there, right?
Yeah, and why are they so concerned with making sure there's an explanation instead of just saying, hey, the offensive coordinator and his quarterback had a disagreement, and they got into it a little bit on the field, and that was the coach coaching the player. They could have just gone with that, too.
That would have been easy. Hey, people get pulled for different reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, but the different stories and the varying accounts and what went down, it's just funny. It's just fishy.
Okay.
Now, James, you know, I get a star of the day.
Yeah.
You don't quite get a star of the day.
No,
you
no.
get a twinkle.
Twinkle.
Do you have?
I do.
Do you have somebody
I
give the twinkle of the day to?
Now, much like you, I didn't have a lot of notes from practice today. Richie and I, we did track the time of how long it took into practice before the players did something that me, as someone who's nearly 48 years old, could not have physically done. And it took 40 minutes today before the Broncos did anything that I couldn't have done.
Wow.
As a, you know, firmly middle-aged man, 40 minutes. So that's a sign that there wasn't much happening. But once they were going through some of the scout team stuff, and this is kind of a twinkle and kind of a prediction. It's a little bit of me doing a little crystal ball for Saturday night. It was kind of tight end day, right? Andrew Beck, who I know is a, you know, tight end and fullback, but he caught a ball in the end zone, running a drill, and Austin Fort had a couple of catches. But Eric Saubert, number 82, I noticed him a couple of times. He kind of jumped out at me. I have a feeling whatever their game plan is, quote unquote, for Saturday, I think 82 is a part of it. I think he gets in the end zone and catches a touchdown from Brett Rippon on Saturday against the Seahawks. So he's getting my twinkle of the day.
Eric?
Saubert.
Yes. Yeah. He's had a good camp. I like that. He's had a good camp, and you're calling your shot already.
I am.
He's getting in the end zone.
Now,
I like how you just call one shot. Zach does like 8, 9, 10 of them.
Yeah.
Then on Monday, he's like, I told you.
I told you Trinity Benson was going to score.
Right.
And Richie's got like 7 cuts to go through to find the one that actually turned out to be right.
Yes.
Now, look, a lot has to go right for this to come to fruition. One, the Broncos have to move the ball with Brett Rippon in the game. And then they got to be down, you know, probably inside the 10 for Saubert to be an option. But from what I saw today, that's kind of the game plan. So not to give away, I don't think I'm giving away state secrets here. It's preseason game number 2. But Eric Saubert, number 82, he's my twinkle of the day. I think he gets in the end zone. I think it's going to be a tight end heavy game plan. I'll put it that way.
Okay. I like it. I like, Saubert. Is that how you say it?
I think so.
Now,
Saubert.
He's had a good camp, though. He's had a really good camp, and it's going to be, I don't know how many tight ends / fullbacks they're going to keep. You know, you look at Beck, you look at Okwuegbunam, you look at Noah Fant. Those three are probably making the team. You know, do they keep one more?
Well, and the only other time I've referenced Saubert is when we were having the debate about Tim Tebow being on the Jaguars roster and how he's taking, you know, the 90th spot and he's stealing someone's dream. My point was, well, he'd be essentially taking Eric Saubert's spot, right?
And Saubert's not the 90th guy on the,
he's the last tight end, right? So that's kind of where I was going with it. But he did something out there today and he got my twinkle of the day.
Why are you taking a shot at Tim today?
I'm not taking
Tim alone. I mean, seriously.
I was supporting Tim with the whole he's not stealing someone's dream.
Thank you so much. God bless y'all.
I thought it made sense that they brought him in. It's the 90th spot on the roster. Get creative with it. See if you can come up with something unusual. If it doesn't work out, it was somebody that wasn't going to make the team anyway. It's not a shot.
Well,
I thought it was smart by Urban Meyer.
Oh, okay. All right. Just sounded like you're taking a shot at Tim on the way out the door.
No, I'm a Tim.
I wish I would have saw Tim play this year.
I'm a Tim. I know you do. I am a Tim fan, and I do think it's funny, not to go too far down this path, but we all like to talk about, you know, kind of the whole Teddy Roosevelt quote of like, you know, you respect anybody who's willing to jump into the arena and give it a shot. But then that goes out the window when it's Tim Tebow time. We're just all going to make fun of him that, he failed. It didn't work out. Like, I give the guy a ton of credit for coming back after all these years and trying a new position and putting it out there and opening himself up to all the criticism that was going to come his way. Yeah, didn't work out. So what? Better than having the question in your mind of, hey, if I had switched positions, could I have done it? Now he knows.
I think if you were to switch positions 5, 6 years ago, whenever it was, he could have made it.
I don't know.
Because
he didn't look like a guy that could have ever blocked.
Well, because, you know, but he didn't need to block. Okay, because I think they could have used him as a hybrid type of quarterback, tight end, fullback type of role. You know, he's playing wildcat. He's doing those types of things and really used his strengths. And, you know, you sit out 5 years or whatever it is, I mean, you're not going to be the same.
No, I'm with you on that. He could have maybe done the, you know, Taysom Hill role or something like that.
Yeah, to a lesser degree.
But before, but I'm not going to be critical of him at all.
No.
Respect the fact that he gave it a shot. It didn't work out. You got cut. So what? And I think the whole notion that he took someone else's dream is silly. Just like it was silly in baseball.
Yeah.
You know, whoever's spot he was taking. So, it was not a shot. So I just wanted to clarify that. It was not a shot at Tim Tebow. All right. Did the Broncos tip their hand today about who they plan to name as their starting quarterback? We'll get Mike Kliss's thoughts coming up next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Let's bring in Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider, who joins us courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. And Mike, I guess I will jump to kind of the hot topic down there today. It was the fact that Drew Lock, even though it's Teddy's week to get the start and to play with the ones, got some reps out there in, you know, against the scout team and was running with the ones. Are we reading too much into it, or did the Broncos maybe tip their hand as to where they're leaning in this quarterback battle?
Yeah, I kind of thought the same thing that you guys did. I thought it looked like they're getting Drew ready for the Giants. But Teddy did get some mixed in with the ones also. Vic said it was split. I don't think it was you know, a 50-50 split as far as those walk-through scout team type of reps with the ones. I still think, I guess what I take away from it is Drew, in my opinion, is the leader in the clubhouse going into a Seattle game. I still think Seattle will matter in the great quarterback competition. You know, if Drew has a tough one and Teddy plays well, I wouldn't be surprised if Teddy's the leader come Monday. So I still think Seattle's going to matter.
It's going to be interesting. Mike and Mike List join us. Mm-hmm. Mike, what do you make Tuesday? Saw Drew, Pat Shurmur get upset. Drew's in the huddle. Next thing you know, he sends Teddy in. Mm-hmm. Teddy pulls him out. Yesterday, Drew was asked about it. Drew said, "No, nothing to see here. It was a script. It was Teddy's rep. I didn't realize it." Well, Teddy didn't realize it either. Pat Shurmur didn't realize it until the last second. It sure looked like to a lot of us that, you know, he pulled Drew out because he was mad at Drew. Drew made a bad mistake, bad read. Drew told us nothing to see because it was on the script. Well, Pat Shurmur told us today that it was mechanical, headset issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you make of all of that? Because it's just two conflicting stories there for me. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I guess sometimes I'm not. Do you need an opinion on everything?
That's why we got you, Mike.
Yeah.
Did they get their stories crossed? Did they not get the information relayed to Pat Shurmur? Are we making too much of it? What do you think?
Well, you know, if he was mad, and I saw the play too, and it's funny. Here's another version. I thought Shurmur was mad at the receiver, and was kind of venting at Drew is kind of how I saw it. But
okay.
You know, I don't know about the whole script thing, but I will say this: what they have said is that it wasn't what it appeared. That the way it appeared that Pat Shurmur was mad at Drew, that wasn't the case. Shurmur said today he was mad that the communication equipment went haywire on him. Drew said he didn't know it was his last rep. You know, I don't know.
Hey, Mike, but Drew also said that there was a heated discussion between the two because he made a poor read on that play. So he did say it was.
He did say the poor read. I guess I ask you, Stoke, don't coach. I mean, if let's say Pat Shurmur did get mad at Drew Locke.
Yeah.
Is that a big deal?
I don't think so. But my question is why we're hearing all kind of different stories.
Yeah.
Like why? Yeah. That's what makes it even worse is it's on its surface, it's not a big deal. But when you start hearing conflicting stories from the quarterback and from the offensive coordinator, like why? That's what makes it a big deal, I think.
Yeah, maybe they remembered it differently.
Maybe so.
I don't know. You know, I don't know what to tell you on that. I do think coaches should get mad at players during practice. So I think that's okay. Even if that was the case, you know, I'm going back to, you know, high school type sports. I got yelled at in practice.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's. I think that's just part of the deal. You know, that's probably something that there's a lot of questions out there that will get answered when they pick it. You know, why did they wait in so long? What, you know, what's the timing? Why did Drew get the walkthrough reps today, you know, with the first teams? When this is all said and done, when it's named, maybe everything will start falling into place. I'm sure they have methods, you know, coaching methods to what's going on. And so many questions will be answered once we know who the quarterback is. But until now, there is going to be a little veil of secrecy going on here with everything going on with the quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike. And I think, you know, this conversation all started back, geez, it was in December of, you know, whether or not they should bring in competition. And I think on the surface, all of us who like sports and played sports and enjoy sports, like, yeah, competition's a good thing. But to me, we look at it now that we've gone through it and kind of gone through this process and had to deal with the questions every day. And, you know, I don't know if it's been a charade, but at times it's felt like a charade.
In hindsight, do you think the team would look back and say, hey, maybe we should have played this different? Or do you think they're happy with the fact that they've gone into camp and done this 50-50 battle?
Yeah, I think the competition was legit because Drew Lock did not play well last year. He was, you know, the team was 5-11. You could not just hand the keys to Drew Lock this year, as you did last year. You did that last year by only bringing in Jeff Driscoll as his competition, which wasn't really competition. You couldn't leave your team with Drew Lock and Drew Lock alone. I think you did have to bring in some legitimate competition. I mean, they looked at Matthew Stafford at one point, right? They either did or didn't flirt with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I think they were aiming pretty big at the quarterback position. They wound up with Teddy Bridgewater, who George Payton and Vic Fangio thought was the best for the value, you know, versus what Foles was going to cost, versus Andy Dalton, what he was going to cost. Sam Darnold with the trade and what they'd have to give up with the trade with Sam Darnold. They felt that Teddy Bridgewater was the best of the rest, so to speak. And so he's here. They had some, they knew him. Pat Shurmur did. George Payton did. Vic Fangio liked the way he kind of is a leader. They liked his persona. And so he was a legit competitor. And, you know, I tell you what, guys, a week ago today, Teddy Bridgewater was definitely leading this quarterback competition after that first practice against the Vikings. So I don't think it was, a charade or anything like that. I think it was legitimate. And Drew Lock, momentum has swung his way by virtue of the preseason game, by virtue of, you know, the reps, you know, with the first team. I noticed that a couple days ago that he was starting to get the reps with the first team, even though Teddy was starting. So that to me is where more than the game, how they've had the reps with the ones, with the number one offense. It hasn't been a 50-50 split. It's been a little bit more Drew than it has Teddy this week, even though Teddy is starting against Seattle. So right now, I think Locke's the quarterback to beat, but I don't think he hasn't won yet. I don't. I think he has to, based on last year and his short history, he can't be inconsistent Drew anymore. He can't have a clunker against Seattle and expect to get the job.
Interesting. Good stuff, Mike. One more for me. Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, expectations for this week. I know Von said he would like to play. Expectations, do you expect to see him playing this week?
Yeah, I don't expect to see Vaughn based on, you know, he says he's ready to play, but he doesn't want his first game back on turf. And Seattle is turf. You know, last year, if you remember, the Tuesday before the opener, in the there was a rainy day, inclement weather. I can't remember exactly what it was. But they had their first, really their only practice for most of last season indoors, and that's when Vaughn at the end tore an ankle tendon and missed the season. So he's back 100% physically. Sounds like he's still got a mental glitch to work through as far as turf goes. Listening to Vaughn, it sounds like he wants to get going next week against the Rams on the grass at Empower Field. And then he'll have to get over that little mental glitch for the opener against the New York Giants in the Meadowlands.
Yeah, Mike, you mentioned the game against the Rams. I think it's going to be interesting how teams treat this. I kind of got the sense from Vic Fangio talking yesterday that he's going to treat it how teams used to treat the third preseason game, which was kind of the dress rehearsal where, you know, you play your starters. Back in the day, it was even play your starters all the way through, you know, let them go into halftime, go through the process of coming back out, maybe play the first drive in the fourth quarter. Some teams, the Rams probably included on this list, aren't going to play their starters at all in the preseason, and certainly not in the third preseason game. Kind of treat it like teams used to treat the fourth preseason game. So as you've been down there and as you've talked to coaches and as you've talked to Vic, and this is KKFN HD1 Longmont,
longest
Denver.
Longest question ever.
Can you ask Mike the question? Hurry up. Mike got to go. Goodness, Mike, I apologize for my guest host today.
He's being really rude.
It was a full minute,
goodness,
Mike.
Gracious.
I apologize. It was a full minute.
I mean, the Rams do this. I mean, goodness, great. Just let Mike go now. Goodness. Wow, you screwed that up, man.
Now he's going. Now he's double move, going up there.
Holy cow.
Are they going to play next week?
I think I would be surprised if many starters played in the final game. I'm not getting that sense because they're playing the quarterback so much in the first two. I don't. And if you name your starter, I guess if they wait another week, could you imagine they wait another week before they?
No.
That would be torture.
Yes.
But they might. You know, I'm hearing they might for competitive reasons. You know, try to keep the Giants guessing for another week. I know
those silly games again. Hopefully not. Hopefully they name someone after this week.
Mike, we appreciate you joining us. Appreciate the insight and thank you for putting up with my nonsense.
Yeah, and I apologize once again, Mike.
I appreciate it.
My partner.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Mike. Take care, buddy.
Stoke, let the Shermer rant go a little bit here.
Okay.
All right.
That was Mike Kliss, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. You know, Stoke, you literally and figuratively dunked on my head a couple times this week.
Yes.
I needed a bounce back.
Yeah.
It was right at 157 when we finished, and I had to stall for a minute.
The four corners, old Dean Smith four corners. I mean, you did it. I mean, look, it was masterful how you did that. It started going a little bit long there, you know.
Yeah.
And Mike didn't know what was going on.
No.
Mike, he's trying to follow you, like, okay, where's it going? This thing. Oh, it's like, and but you know what? Hey, good job. You got it, and you needed it.
I did.
And
I did.
It's you know, I was looking at the clock, and I just, you know, I couldn't. There was just no way that I could do it. I was hoping that, you know, your question would be a little bit shorter. I'd get one more, but that's just the way it goes. Sometimes it's out of your control, right?
Yeah.
It was out of my control today. You did a good job.
Thank
you had
you.
To get the win. You got the win.
Thank
I respect
you.
That.
Thank you. And I appreciate Mike putting up with it because, yes, that
he's
was
a good sport. He knows. He's a good sport.
That was a rambling question if there ever was one.
Well, right. I mean, it's a real question. I mean,
are they going to play or not? I think they are.
Well, I stopped listening to the question. So, like, you're talking about, are the starters going to play? Was that your question that you started?
My question was essentially this. Here's the 4-second version.
Yes.
Is game three going to be like game three used to be or like game four used to be?
Gotcha.
That was the question. I took a minute to ask that.
Right. hey, you got to do what you got to do. I would say it's going to be more like game four. Used to be.
I think it's going to be around the league. I don't know if that's how Vic's going to play it.
I think that's how Vic's going to play it. Unless there's still a quarterback competition. So if they don't name the starter, I think, and you know, game four for me back in the day, it used to be we'd play one series, maybe two, like the starters.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it became like you're not playing at all. It's like, oh, okay, that's cool. So I don't know. I think, just it depends how much they get accomplished this week in the quarterback situation. And then I think that will determine a lot.
Well, I think from a calendar standpoint, the third game still falls when the third game always
does. Right.
When the fourth game would have been played, they're just off. They're the bye. So if they don't play in this third preseason game, it's not 2 weeks until the opener. It'll be 3 weeks that they haven't played. Which I think is too much of a stretch here. He mentioned that Von Miller wants to come back and play on grass for the first time back out there. Okay, that makes sense, but
how much are you going to play him?
Right, exactly. So, but if Von is playing, you know, he's, I guess from a player standpoint, he's the face of the franchise, right? Like, if he's going to play, you would think a lot of starters would play, at least some. But he also mentioned, and you know, I do have to say, my long-winded rambling question did bring out quite a tidbit there, that he's hearing that they may stretch out this quarterback battle, and it's just to keep the Giants guessing, I've heard some silly ideas and some silly notions, not from Mike, not that I'm questioning what he's saying.
No, yeah.
But if that is the Broncos' game plan, is, hey, let's drag this thing out even further and keep this charade going even longer and not name a starter and continue to split reps because we want the Giants to have to prepare for both the 32nd and 33rd best starter in the league. I mean, talk about just a silly idea. That would be ridiculous to me.
Yeah, you know, I said it when they did it against with Drew Locke and I don't know if it was Brandon Allen. I think it was.
I think it was.
They went right up to kickoff.
Charger game, was that his first
start? Yeah, that was ridiculous. It didn't matter which one you picked. Gus Bradley wasn't going to be losing sleep. That was a coordinator for the Chargers.
Right.
And in this situation, it's not much different. So do what's best for your football team. And what's best for the Broncos football team and the Broncos offense is to name a starter as soon as possible.
Yes.
And don't go through the charades of splitting reps and holding this in until, you know, the week of the game or a few days before the game. And you say, gotcha. Gotcha.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You're getting no one. You're getting yourself. That's what you're doing. So sometimes you can overthink these things. Once you know who it is, whoever it is, let's go. Right?
Yeah.
Who cares if they know? You know, I mean, you got to do what's best for your football team. Not just week one, but week two, week three. You need to start getting those reps with one guy. It's important. And let everybody know. So your team knows. They're not sitting there like, well, who's it going to be? I mean, come on. You need to get out in front of this. As soon as you know, you make the call and decide and tell your football team and move forward.
Yeah. The advantage you would gain, even if there is one, but I'll just give them the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
And say there's an advantage. I think it's minuscule, right?
Yes.
I think that it's probably over by the time the game starts, right? They're going to find out on Saturday who's starting and they can, you know, maybe lose a little sleep that night because they got to do a little extra in a meeting and figure out what their plan is going to be or tweak things, but it's minuscule. And I think the damage you could do by wasting 2 to 3 weeks of one guy getting all the reps with the ones in practice, I think it's just silly. Another thing that he mentioned that I thought was silly is that Seattle will matter. Now, I get it. The games matter. But
come on, James.
No.
Come on.
Hear me out. Hear me out.
Come on.
Hear me out.
Better have something good is all I'm saying now.
Let's say Teddy Bridgewater goes out.
Let me get my pen.
And plays fine.
Yeah.
Right? Plays well.
Okay.
He plays kind of like he did in Minnesota. He doesn't play as well as Drew Locke did with the ones. But look, he was what, 7 of 8 for 70 some yards and a touchdown? He was good. I'll even admit that. Let's say he's good again.
Okay.
And then Drew Locke playing with the twos and threes, playing with a bunch of guys who aren't going to make the team.
That's what Teddy did last week.
Let's say he plays poorly.
Okay.
You're going to decide your starting quarterback based on who did better against guys who are going to be selling insurance, as opposed to who did better against guys who are actually going to be on a roster. That seems silly and ridiculous and preposterous to me.
So, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
I mean,
you can't say, well, Drew played against backups.
The only thing
in Minnesota,
matters,
a lot of those guys are going to be out, you know, not playing football also.
The only thing that matters is how you played when you got your start, when you played with the ones. That's the only thing that matters.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying.
Really?
Yeah. The garbage time
stuff
doesn't matter.
And look, I mean, you're making a little sense there, but at the same time, if you go out there and you're slinging the football around to the other team, and, you know, there's no excuse for that. You're making bad decisions. I don't care who you're playing with. Now, do I expect it to be perfect? No. No, because you are. You're playing with guys, like you said, that probably won't be on this football team. So I think most of it has to do with what you do with the starters. But, I mean, also, you know what else matters? What you do in practice. What you do day in and day out. Not just a game. You're not going to crown the quarterback competition to a guy that threw 7 times or a guy that threw 8 times and just go off of that. You're taking everything into evaluation here. And I think that's why I had an issue when Kliss said all of a sudden, after everything that I've seen, after, you know, Kliss said that Bridgewater was ahead in Minnesota, but then after the Minnesota game, all of a sudden Drew took the lead, where all indications in Minnesota during the practice week, like Teddy won one day, Drew won the next day, and obviously Drew won the game. They both played well. Now Drew takes the lead because of seven throws. That's it. So to me, I have a hard time going there, just like you have a hard time going to this week if Teddy takes the job back.
I just fear that they're going to end up making the same mistake they made when it was Sanchez v. Simeon in 2016. And the mistake they made was Mark Sanchez got the first start of the preseason. He was 9 of 10, threw a long touchdown pass to Demaryius Thomas against the Bears. He looked really good. Then he didn't play with the starters. He played with a bunch of backups. He got sacked and fumbled a couple of times. And they said, well, he didn't play well behind a right tackle who is never going to make the roster, so therefore we're going to cut him and we're going to go with Trevor Siemian, which in hindsight was a gigantic mistake.
Wait.
Try and defend a Super Bowl title with a guy who takes
one snap. Let me correct some of your mistaken revisionist history.
Okay.
The issue with Mark Sanchez wasn't just that game. Okay. And that's why it's the same thing that reflects here. It's not just the games, how you perform in the games. It's the practices too. And guess what? Mark Sanchez almost gave Gary Kubiak a heart attack in practice. Okay. Because he spiked the ball when he shouldn't have spiked the ball. He's making silly mistakes after mistakes after mistakes. And then you get in a game and you play that way. That was it. So it wasn't just the game for Mark Sanchez that cost him. It was the practices, like the stuff that we don't see. Buildup of those things. Why are you like you're just brushing it off?
I think it's silly.
About practice.
I think Trevor Siemian throwing a pick six against the Niners in a game was a bigger red flag that that's not the direction to go than Mark Sanchez spiking a ball at the wrong time in practice.
What would the record have been with Mark Sanchez?
11-5. I'm sticking with it. They're defending Super Bowl champions.
Okay.
Mark Sanchez was a veteran. Sanchez had been to two AFC titles.
I trust Gary Kubiak.
Gary Kubiak. What's funny about it is Gary Kubiak made the same mistake Mike Shanahan made. He fell in love with the quarterback who was good at the whiteboard and thought his system was more important than the players. And Mike Shanahan tried to defend a Super Bowl title with Brian Griese instead of Bubby Brister. And Gary Kubiak tried to defend a Super Bowl title with Trevor Siemian instead of Mark Sanchez. Would have been way better off to go with Mark Sanchez to start the year. You get four games in and it's not working out and he's still spiking the ball at the wrong time. Then you say, let's go with the kid.
Yeah. That's
same
fine.
Thing they should have done in 99. He made that mistake, but he was worried about what happened in practice.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. Let's not worry about practice. Practice is important.
What happened in football,
I don't know about basketball. I don't know about baseball, but in football, practice is important.
And then he worried about what happened in the second half of games playing behind an offensive line that was never going to make the roster. I think that's silly, and I think it would be a mistake on the part of the Broncos. One other thing that we talked to Mike Kliss about, and he didn't want to go there. He didn't want to weigh in. It's what I'm now calling Shermergate. We got some conflicting answers when it came to the disagreement between Drew Lock and Pat Shermer on Tuesday. We got one answer yesterday from Drew Lock, a different answer today from Pat Shermer. We'll talk about those coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.